All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 294 of the DFO Rundown. It's the final week of the NHL regular season, the final week of the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Go to dailyfaceoff.com. You can win all sorts of great prizes, and somebody's going to win $5,000 this week, brought to you by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. I'm Jason Greger. We say hello to Frank Saravalli. And Frank, there are 26 games left in the National Hockey League. There are only three teams who know where they're going to finish in the standings. Dallas is going to be first in the Central. Toronto's third in the Atlantic. And Tampa Bay has the first wild card spot in the East locked up. That's it. The other 13 spots, we're still juggling. We know Colorado and Winnipeg are going to play, but we don't know who's going to have home ice advantage. It's I don't know if you could script a better end to the regular season with 4 days left and really no playoff series 100% confirmed, because we don't know who's home ice.
It is amazing, isn't it? The other thing we have locked in, and certainly not to be forgotten, is the San Jose Sharks have clinched the 32nd spot.
True.
So that's with Macklin Celebrini, and you saw him at the Frozen Four last week, the Hobie Baker winner. Pretty impressive for an 18-year-old freshman. That is locked in as well. So still lots to be determined. I guess matchups are always intriguing, because it's always, you know, I'd like to think that everyone just goes into it with 100% commitment that whatever happens, happens. I always think be careful what you wish for when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I don't know. I mean, trying to figure out what is the most intriguing part of this week. Is it the East wildcard race? Is it the West matchups and like what happens in relation to Vegas? I mean, Vegas can still finish in three different spots by virtue of their furious third period comeback over the weekend. I mean, they're looking at second wild card, first wild card, or third in the Pacific. All three still on the table.
Oh, yeah. It's it is a great ending. And by the way, right now, for any of those teams wondering, it looks like Minnesota is going to be the team that misses out on any chance, the number one pick. They're currently the sitting in, I guess, the 12th seed, Frank, if we want to call it that, for the draft lottery, which of course is just on the outside. And so That's a tough one. No team, I don't think that's like, if you're going to miss the playoffs, you're going to miss, but you'd rather at least be in the lottery. And it looks like the Wild are the team that's going to miss out because, well, Buffalo can't catch them. So they are officially out of the lottery for the Wild. Unfortunate for them, but San Jose, Chicago, and then Anaheim have the three best odds. 25% for the Sharks and a half, 13.5 Chicago, 11.5 for Anaheim, it looks like. And then you move down. But the, you know, Vegas, hey, we can talk two things about that Vegas game, Frank. First of all, you know, Vegas, a Wild comeback, and yeah, you're right. It keeps their chances alive. Them and the Kings each have two games remaining. LA plays Minnesota and Chicago, and Vegas plays, I think, Anaheim and Chicago. So now Nashville, if they win their final game, then they're secured in the seventh seed. I think they actually just need 1 point, Frank, and then Vegas can't catch them because if they get tied. So that's what Nashville has on the line tonight. But the Colorado Avalanche are a team in April. They have played four games versus playoff teams, Edmonton, Dallas, Vegas, and Winnipeg, and they've allowed 24 goals in those games. They lost 7-0, 6-2, 4-3 yesterday, and 7-4 to Dallas. Like, it's been a real tough end to the season for the Avalanche against the playoff teams in the West.
I thought it was real interesting that Jared Bednar was publicly critical of his goaltending. And the numbers, I mean, you just mentioned them. They speak for themselves. But maybe that's the one Achilles heel to this Avs team is goaltending. And it's funny to say that because we've mentioned this before. Even if you have bad or mediocre goaltending, that Avalanche team specifically has proven they can win the Stanley Cup with that. I mean, Darcy Kemper had the most mid run for a goalie ever to win the Stanley Cup. Go back to 2022 and look at his numbers. I mean, it's not very impressive. 16 games started, 902 save percentage. It's just okay. I think he went into that Stanley Cup final in the eights in save percentage.
Yeah.
Pavel Francouz picked up four of those wins of the 16 required to get there. So the Avs have proven they can do it without it, but Georgiev has A, played too much, and B, his numbers are really just okay.
Well, I think they really...
897 on the season, and he's played the most games in the NHL.
Yeah, Anonin's, I think, a viable option, Frankie. Now, he's only played 11 games, but he's 7-4-1. He has a 925 save percentage.
A viable option for what? Like, let me stop you there.
To be their goalie instead of Georgiev.
No, he's played 17 career NHL games. He is not a viable option to be their guy.
Why?
Why would they play Georgiev so much if Georgiev wasn't going to be the guy?
Well, he played a lot, but if you look at their numbers lately, they've almost been split since he joined the team. That's my point. Like,
that's because they're trying to get Georgiev a rest, not because they're trying to send a signal.
Yeah. Wow. I'd be stunned if we don't see him in that series at some point against Winnipeg, especially if Georgiev continues to struggle the way he's played down the stretch. I don't see how he can't.
I think that's a fair comment, but I don't think they're going into it thinking that Eustace Annanen's going to be starting any games for them. That's not what their thought process is.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like I'm sure we played this guy all year. He's our guy. But lately, Annanen's just been just as much of their guy, right?
Again, because they want to get him rest. And he was, you know, he hasn't been great in mop-up duty at times either.
Yeah, mop-up duty's hard, though. I always look at, you know, I always try to look at a guy's numbers more in starts than in mop-up duty, just because some guys just aren't great coming off the bench, right?
I think that's fair.
Yeah, like, so.
So let's have a little draft, okay?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Eastern Conference wild card race. And we know what the numbers are.
Yeah.
So there's four teams in the mix. Caps, Wings, Flyers, Pens.
Okay.
If the Caps, Wings, and Penguins all lose in regulation, it sets up for the Flyers a win and guaranteed to be in scenario for their final game of the season. So I've actually covered a win and you're in scenario with the Flyers in 2010.
Did they need a shootout?
Yeah, the worst team in the NHL history in the shootout at the time goes to a shootout against Henrik Lundqvist of all goalies. And the Flyers win and go on as the seventh seed to go to the Stanley Cup final. Best regular season game I've covered, and it ain't even close. So that said, there's four teams in the mix. I'll give you the first pick. Then I get to pick the next two and you get the fourth to who makes it. Who's your pick?
I'm going to say Detroit.
Oh, okay. That's good. I will take the Caps and the Flyers. You got the Pens.
So I get the Pens. All right. Cause Detroit has Montreal twice. And Detroit, I don't know if anybody watched that game. Did you like Dylan Larkin? That was like an overtime playoff winning goal. His celebration when he won that on the power play.
It should have been. It saved their season. They would have been eliminated.
Yeah, like it was a massive game.
So why with the math being what it is, would you take Detroit? I'm just curious.
Because they have Montreal twice. Washington plays Boston tonight. And Pittsburgh plays Nashville tonight. So I look and say, okay, the Wings, they win that first one. So now they're going to be 2 points up. Like I think the Caps in Boston, that's a tough one. Because Boston still has lots to play for, right? Like they're battling Florida for home ice advantage. And the Nashville Predators, they don't have as much to play for, I don't think. But still, they probably, like, I just think they're a tougher out right now than Montreal. So that's why I would go Detroit. Because they play the Habs tonight. And then they play the Habs, I think, again.
But have you watched the Habs play the last couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not an easy game. But I've also seen the Bruins and Preds. So,
but the Preds don't, and the Bruins might not have anything at all to play for. The Rangers
do tonight.
Well, but the Rangers can win the President's Trophy tonight. The Bruins can lock up they can lock up the Atlantic tonight.
Yeah,
so which would then lock in Leafs and Panthers.
Yeah,
and it's amazing that the other part of this. So the Rangers with a win over the Sens. They can lock up the Metro, the number one seed in the East, and the Presidents with a win. But the Canes have been hot. The Canes have won 5 in a row and are 13-2-1. And yet they still haven't caught the Rangers and may not.
No. Yeah, like they're 8-2 in their last 10. The Rangers are 7-3, right? Like they've gained 2 points. So.
Right, but the Rangers lose tonight and the Canes win their final game, and that's it. That's a swap.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And then the Canes win the President's Trophy potentially, but the Stars are in the mix too.
Yeah, well, and Boston, right? Because Boston can still get 113 points, right?
Right, and, Boston has two games.
If the Canes win, though, Boston can't catch them because a tiebreaker of regulation wins. But that's why I think Boston has lots to play for tonight, and I think that's why I picked Detroit. I just think that's a tougher out. I look at that game. I think the Red Wings, they started great against Toronto, and then obviously they had a great first period, brutal second period. And I just think, I don't know, something about Detroit. They, Patrick Kane, man, if you're going to give me one guy to come up big, right? He had the assist on the game-winning goal. I'll take Patrick Kane.
Oh, I think he's the most clutch player of his generation. With all due respect to Justin Williams, I'd say Justin Williams is a bit older too.
Yeah. No, he's huge for them. Yeah. There's like Sidney Crosby might put up, people in Pittsburgh might say, hey, Sid scored some pretty big goals, the Olympic gold medal goals.
Yep, so, yeah. Two back-to-back Conn Smythe. It's a fair debate. I just think if you're giving me the one player with the puck on his stick to win, I might pick Patrick Kane might be the only player I pick over Sid.
Yeah. Oh no. I've always said it for years, man. Patrick Kane, I slowing down a bit. But Patrick Kane, just from the blue line in for years, when he had the puck on a stick, there was no one who put the fear of God in defenseman more than him. Like, and he'd start, remember when he'd wind up and he'd circle back to the blue line?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God, what's he going to do now? Oh, it was great to watch.
Speaking of 2010, that cup winning goal, I mean, still the weirdest cup clincher in NHL history. Oh, yeah. The one that went through Michael Layton. Oh, it's amazing. I was sitting in the press box. My seat was at center ice and I'm on a deadline working at the newspaper. So my option is either I got to scramble. My story's due in 8 minutes. I'm either writing like, what do I do? Did the Blackhawks win? And I'm typing that and the Flyers season is over. Or am I typing Flyers are alive and going to game 7? That was game 6. Are they going to game 7 in Chicago? There's no middle ground in that story. There's no bullshit filler. So I'm scrambling. I look at the guy next to me. I go, what do I do? It was my first year covering the league. I'd never been in a situation like that. I go, is it over? Like, I don't have 5 minutes to waste on a video review to figure it out. What do I do?
Well, yeah, because at that point, had they gone to over, your story would have been incomplete, right? Because back then you had to file at night. So had the goal been called off, now you just keep playing. You might have played for another hour.
I literally had 8 minutes to send in my story, and it was there are a few hundred thousand copies of a paper waiting to go through a printing press on the back end of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Why? Who would you have picked first?
I would have picked the Caps.
Oh, really? Because you like them against Boston.
Huh. Yeah, I think there's something about this Caps team that has shown me a lot. The Red Wings are just all over the place for me.
Yeah. Now we didn't include the Islanders because
they're already in pretty much.
Yeah.
96%.
Yeah. They'd have to lose both of their games and then have Washington, Detroit, Pittsburgh would all have to win both of their games to get them knocked out. Right.
And the Islanders can clinch, right?
Yeah, the Islanders can clinch if they get they need to win one of their final two games. Now there is a tie breaking way where they could only gain a point and still finish ahead of Detroit and let Washington or Pittsburgh pass them potentially. So,
well, and that's the interesting part about the Flyers is they have the Islanders, their clinch situation is a win over the Devils in any fashion.
Yeah,
1 point against the Devils and a Capitals loss. Or if the Capitals lose in regulation and the Penguins lose in any fashion, that's their three scenarios. So the Islanders are pretty much in.
Yeah.
But the Flyers own the tiebreakers over those other teams. That's where the math gets interesting.
Do they own the tiebreaker over Washington?
Yes.
Really?
So they're tied in regulation wins. They're tied in regulation and overtime wins. And then the next tie-breaking part of the formula is number of games won, which the Flyers and Caps are tied. And then the next one after that is the greater number of points earned in the games against the two teams head-to-head.
Right. But the Capitals also have one extra game, though, right now. So they're tied in regulation wins, but they have two games left where the Flyers have one. So,
right. But that's why I said this game tonight is their game in hand. Mm-hmm. So, and their last game is against the Flyers, is it not?
Yep.
So why I said if they lose this game right now, then their next game and all the other teams lose, then the Flyers win and are guaranteed in.
Yeah. It should be fun. There'll be a great final 4 days, right? There's lots of scenarios.
Let me just double check the head-to-head results between Flyers and Caps. The Flyers are 1-1 against the Caps this year. So it'll come down to that. It would come down to that last game. That would give them more, by virtue of definition, one more win in addition to a head-to-head win.
Yeah, but then don't they have, there's some weird thing about the greater number of games won head-to-head.
Unless there's an odd number of games.
Yes.
Then it's wild how this whole thing, like we might end up using the fifth tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Or sixth tiebreaker. Because then the sixth tiebreaker is the differential of goals for and against for the entire
season. Yeah. Philly has that because Washington has a fairly large minus.
So when they have not played an even number of games, the first game played in the city that has the extra game is not included, the odd game. So then they'd still be tied. The percentage of available points earned in games among each other.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So they'd still be tied. So you'd have to go to goal differential. It could be the sixth tiebreaker.
Yeah. It's another example of why division teams, Frank. Like I know that you play, I think, three teams in your division, three games, and the rest you play four. You should play everybody in your division the same amount of games, and the unequal amount of games should happen to the other team in your conference. That's another small little scheduling change that the NHL should do. So you play 32 games against the other conference, right? Home and away, that's 32. Then you play everybody in your division four times. That should be 28. And then the remaining games, that's 22. You would split that over the other eight teams in your in the other division in your conference. Like when the Atlantic plays the Metro, they would play them 22 times. So you would play six of those teams or five, whatever it is, four times, all right, or three times, and then two of them twice.
Right.
It'd be pretty easy. That's a small other little tweak that should be done when you're talking about division seedings. Then everybody in their division should play each other equal amount of games every year.
Mm-hmm. Hey, while we were on the subject of the Flyers, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Wayne Simmonds. He signed a 1-day contract with the team on Saturday and retired. Had the privilege to cover almost the entirety of his career, an all-time Flyer. And he's someone that I think someday should be in their Hall of Fame. And just, I think the best example of a professional athlete and player that you could possibly ask for.
Oh, yeah.
Role model, incredible worker, teammates loved him. I'll never forget. There was one time where another media member had written a scathing column about the Flyers leadership core. And you know me, I'm just like one day, I think we were in St. Louis and I walk in the locker room and I'm just kind of, you know, minding my business. And he goes, "Hey, Frank, get over here." I'm like, "Oh shit, what did I do?" And he goes, "Turn your recorder on." And I'm like, "Fuck, what's happening?" And he's like, he just went on an absolute screed about why the story that was written by someone else was absolute bullshit defending his teammates. And he said, "I want you to write every word of it." And obviously that's not always how it works. Like, you know, I'm not just going to take that and write it, but I go around and ask other people, and that team was fired up that day. That's just the kind of person Wayne Simmonds is. And it's certainly well-deserved. So glad he got some attention and accolades. And I'm glad that Wells Fargo Center exploded for him on Saturday.
Oh yeah. No, I think beloved, like when you think about who the Flyers represent and the style of players that their fan base really, kind of falls in love with, you know, that was Wayne Simmonds, right? Just a hard-nosed guy, played super hard all the time, had some skill, 30 goal score multiple times, and also would fight, would hit. And, you know, I think Flyer fans, like, you know, you would know the city more than me, but from afar, right? Like he's a guy that kind of epitomizes what a lot of Flyers fans look for in player.
And I would say because of that, he's an iconic Flyer. I truly believe that he should be one of the 15 players in their Hall of Fame. And
who's the last guy put in there? Like Claude Giroux's going in their Hall of Fame, I assume, when he's done.
Probably 1,000 games and a lot of, I mean, he would deserve it as well. Who was the last to go in there? It's a good question. By the way, speaking of from Flyers Hall of Fame to, or Flyers hero to Flyers villain, Cutter Gauthier signs his NHL contract, leaving Boston College, no surprise. And he immediately joins the Anaheim Ducks, expected to make his NHL debut this week as the season wraps up. What'd you make of Cutter Gauthier's comments prior to the national championship game? Did you see them?
I did not see them.
They were the 2024 version of "no one's going to remember who's picked number two." Before the game started, he said something along the lines of, and Tyler, perhaps you can clip it and put the audio in. He said,
rematch on this championship stage to be like tonight?
It's going to be epic. There's going to be a lot of emotions, you know, and a lot of tears for that team over there. So we're happy and we're excited to get after it.
How'd that work out?
Not good. Not when the Denver goalie goes out and absolutely stands on his head.
Hey, buddy, Denver's a really good program, man. They've been a good program for a long time. So I'll say, hey, the Frozen Four was awesome, right? I don't follow college hockey all the time. Can't watch everything, but you know, the Frozen Four, like the Final Four, I watched a lot more of it here the last few years, and you know, this one this year, like there was so much hype leading up to it. Everybody thought it was going to be a, you know, Boston U and Boston College head to head, and obviously that didn't happen. And Denver kind of really came in and just ruined the party for a lot of people, which to me is always fantastic. You kind of like it. Not that there was any overwhelming favorite, I don't think, but clearly there were some teams that, you know, I'm sure if people would have ranked them 1 through 4 heading in, I'm not sure Denver would have been ranked.
No, they wouldn't.
On the majority of anybody's polls.
Boston College, I think everyone agreed that they were the best team in college hockey. And if you play a 7-game series, Boston College probably wins it. But yeah, the fact that it's a 1-game single elimination, that's where the juice is, right? You never know.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, David Carl, 2 national championships and a world junior gold. At some point in the near future, NHL teams are going to be calling.
Oh, I would think so.
It's going to take a special situation to get him to leave Denver. I'll say that. Yeah, it's not going to be just some rebuilding NHL team that wants a new coach and wants to go a different path. He's only stepping in, I think, if you're talking major NHL franchise cup contender category and lots of money.
Makes sense. Now, before I get to Tyler, I do want to talk about Frank. Obviously, one of the best games that was played yesterday, of course, at the Women's World Championships, Canada and the U.S. I don't know what it is with 6-5 games, man, but God, they're exciting. It was great because heading into that game, Canada and the U.S., like, they hadn't given up anything. Both their goalies had like a goals against average below 1. And you're like, geez, I hope this doesn't, you know, not that you can't have exciting low scoring games. They've happened, but man, that was an epic back and forth battle. I don't know if you watch it, but like just in overtime alone, right? Marie-Philippe Poulin, who is maybe the most clutch. Well, not maybe, she's the most clutch women's player ever, scores huge goals. She scored 2 more yesterday. She misses the net on breakaway. You know, the U.S. had a great chance as well. Fillier missed a really good one. And then, that's for Canada. But Canada then wins it on a power play, which I know people won't like, but I thought it was a legit penalty. And, you know, the women's game, like Canada and the U.S., there never seems to be any sort of separation, which makes it fun. Like from year to year, you don't know who's going to win. We know that those two are going to be in the final. And yeah, and now it hasn't happened 100% of the time, but it's, you know, it's the majority of it. The other teams are slowly getting closer, but it's always going to be hard to catch up because as the other teams catch up, well, the next generation of American women and Canadian women continue to get better. But man, that was a hell of a game yesterday to watch.
No doubt. I mean, look, anytime those two teams match up, I don't care if it's preliminary round, whatever it is, gold medal game, it's appointment television. And it's one of those few things on planet Earth that will get me to click away from the Masters on Masters Sunday.
Yeah. So, you know, you can like it does suck. I will say this, Frank, I don't know if you're watching, like, you know, the too many, you know, too many women penalty that they took, like obviously not ideal, but, mm-hmm. You know, what can you do? It happens at a key time and, the thing is, though, like anytime you take a penalty, there's no guarantee the other team's going to score on it. But, you know, give Canada credit. They took advantage of the power play and got the win. And you know what? I wish, and I know that they do it more, but I don't know. I just kind of, and I'm sure you talked to the women, you'd like to see them play it even, you know, like a, you know, a 7-game series more. Like I would love to see the World Championships have a best of 3. Like the Canada Cup in 1987, I still believe is the best one because the final was a best of 3. And I know all the psychology that when we're younger, we remember things and that's like the glory days of our life. And, you know, I think I was 15 at the time and had starting to really become a fan of hockey. But man, like I still vividly remember that series. Like it was unreal. Every game was 6-5. It's back and forth. And I look at yesterday's game and I'm like, it's kind of too bad they don't have, you know, two more potential games in that series. Like I'd love to see if that's something they would ever consider.
I kind of like that it's single elimination, just like we were just talking about with Frozen Four. I mean, you never know what happens, and that's the emotion of it.
True.
And they do play a rivalry series, obviously, and there's not as much on the line in terms of bragging rights or whatever, but that's a little bit more. And the Olympics are single game anyway. No one's saying the Olympic gold medal game is less whatever enthralling or whatnot.
Because there's a restricted timeline, right, for the Olympics, but everything could be different. To me, if you had a world championship that was a best of three, like from a marketing and from a financial standpoint, they would benefit. There's no doubt about it.
I don't know that anyone wants to spend four additional days in Utica, New York. I mean, that's a cheap joke, but yeah.
So anyway, kudos to the women. Another exciting world championship. And I do believe that now that they have their own league, Frank, and the majority of the best players, it's one league. It's not two separate leagues. I do think that's going to be the biggest boost to helping the other countries catch up, because now a lot of, you know, eventually as you get more of them, because I know some were in Europe for this year, but in the future, you get more Finns and Swedes and Czechs and, you know, women from other countries playing in that league. And now they get to play regularly against the best Canadian and American women, and with them, that's how their game's going to improve. It had to happen, and now it's going to take a while, right? Because it's a pretty large gap to close. But I think that's what we're going to see here over time. That's going to strengthen these other countries, is because they're simply, their best players are going to get to play against the best in the world way more frequently.
I would say that's the biggest thing missing from the women's game, is there's really not a lot of intrigue or drama in the entire tournament until the last game.
And that's why we have a best of three.
Not to say that upsets don't happen, because they do, but it's pretty rare, because they're just, the US and Canada are so head and shoulders above everyone else that until the other countries are really strengthened, it's,
yeah.
I think especially the preliminary part of the tournament is a lot more difficult to watch.
And that's why, for me, just for the Women's World Championships, for now, I would look at making it a best of three final.
I get it.
No. So doesn't mean the Olympics has to do it. Everybody has different. Doesn't even mean the men's have to do it, but something for the women. Everybody can have different rules for different events. And right. Like March Madness has their kind of playoffs. It is very different. Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL play best of sevens. The NFL plays a one-off. Everybody's different. It's fine. So it's just something when I watch it, it's probably selfishly, but I enjoyed that game, and I was like, it's too bad there isn't game two tonight. Would quite enjoy it. So, see. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk to the pod.
What's going on, gentlemen? I'm back with a new edition of Buy or Sell, and it is delivered by DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25, available to our listeners in Canada. And you can even take advantage of the Double Dash feature, which allows you to add a second stop on your order.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do you trim your mustache to leave it that space in the middle, or is it just not as thick there?
Jesus.
It'll be gone by the time I do DFO Live, but when I wake up on Monday morning.
You should grow it out for the playoffs. That's unbelievable. It's like you're a French pastry chef. It's outstanding.
I don't think there would be a number of people who would push against me growing it out for the playoffs. This is what it looks like after 5 days. Like, it'd get really greasy after potentially 2 or 3 weeks. I don't think we need that, do we?
Yeah.
Frank, can you grow a mustache?
I can. It just looks weird because it's not dark. So it actually comes in kind of like strawberry blondish.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler, like, you're just threatening elementary schools everywhere with that thing.
Yeah, don't worry. It'll be gone by the time we do DFO Live, Frank. Anyways, speaking of greasy mustaches, my first buy or sell question is about Austin Matthews. He's on the verge of hitting 70 goals this year. I want you guys to buy or sell. Is this going to be his best season ever? Is this going to end up being peak Matthews? Or do you think he's a guy who could do this regularly? Buy or sell, Greggs?
It's a good question, man. Like, he's not a real goal scorer. It's hard. Like, he scored 60 a few years ago. So, like, second time he scored 60. There's not many guys score 60 twice. So, it's a good question, man. I'm trying, when I look at Gretzky's peak and I look at Brett Hall's peak and those guys, like, they had 3-4 years. So I think Matthews still has a few more where I could see him score, you know, like, if you're 65 and, you know, let's say he finishes with 70, right? Or it's 68, like, to beat 70 is going to be hard, no question. So, God, I'm going to say this. I think he'll have more points than he has this season in another year, but this might be his highest single goal season.
Okay. A little bit of buying, a little bit of selling on it. Frank, is this going to be his best goal scoring season of his career?
I would tend to think yes. I mean, if you look at the math would tell you career arcs, 26, 27 years old is just about the peak of peaks for NHL players. Again, not to say he can't, but also when you look at the historical precedent of scoring this many goals in this few games, look at Mike Bossy. I mean, probably, I don't know, with, you know, respect to Gretzky and Ovechkin, is Mike Bossy the best pure goal scorer in NHL history prior to maybe Austin Matthews? Like, his peak was 69 goals in 80 games and he hit 68 in 79.
And then he hit 64 and 61 and 60. Crazy.
Right. But what I'm saying is that was sort of where he's at was then in a different scoring era and where Matthews is now. How much better can you do than 70 and 80 if that's what he gets to, 70 and 80 games?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's not that he's like, he could have three more years of 60 goals, which would be amazing. But scoring 70 is just damn hard. It's not that he's a bad player. It's just, it's really hard. That's all. Yeah.
Can we just talk for 1 second about Sheldon Keefe and the oddity of his comments this season? Like, saying that him scoring 70 is a distraction.
What?
Did you hear that? Over the weekend, he basically was like, you know, it is a thing. Like, it is a distraction. And everyone, you can feel the arena buzzing. And obviously, he was trying with Matthews' deployment to get him to 70. Sure. But it was just, like, it's so odd the way that he frames it. It's almost like they're looking for built-in excuses. Like, everyone's out to get us, so to speak. And
to me, I don't see how, like, because distraction, whether or not he meant it, has like a negative connotation. Chasing 70 is no negative. Nothing negative about it.
That's
if
my
he finishes
point.
With 69, it's still ridiculous, right? Like, it's amazing. So nice too, but we'll see.
Here's the quote. That's a major distraction. Doesn't help us what we're trying to accomplish on the ice, but it's exciting. I get it.
It doesn't help us what we're trying to accomplish. What are you talking about? You're trying to win games. So you have a guy who scores goals. Well, we're trying not to have him focus. We don't want him to score. He's your best goal scorer. What the? Oh my goodness.
It's a major distraction. I can't wrap my brain around it.
No.
Can you imagine if like a goalie was chasing a shutout record and the coach was like, listen, this is just, we don't need this to win. Like, it's a bit too much.
Are John Cooper and Chris Knobloch? Oh, geez, these guys are chasing 100 assists. This is a major distraction. What the hell are you talking about?
Only in Toronto would you say it and actually believe it.
Yeah.
Is my point. Like, what? I don't understand this, like, us against the world mentality that they feel like they bring into every game when they're the goddamn elephant in the room. They are the behemoth. They are the big team that everyone's watching, that everyone pays attention to, that has the biggest fan base. They're not the underdog.
Yeah. Let me throw you a little bonus one that just popped into my head. Is Sheldon Keefe coaching for his job this spring, or have expectations dipped so hard on the Leafs that a first round exit would just be whatever? Buy or sell, Frank, Keefe coaching for his job in round one?
Buy.
All right.
I just outlined one of the reasons why.
Yeah. Greg?
Oh, I think at the start of the season, I would have said that. You have a new GM. And if they don't win in the playoffs, they could still have a good core group. But the point is, they haven't won as a group. So I would think changes are coming, not just to the coaching staff. I think there would be a significant change to the core of their team.
All right. Let's go to the next one here. This one kind of ties in the Leafs again. I did not do this intentionally, but I was looking at Florida potentially tracking down the Boston Bruins. And I'm going to say the best case scenario for the Florida Panthers is they finish second. I don't think you want to come first. I'd rather play the Leafs than the Lightning, which is who Boston is in all likelihood going to play if they're the one seed. You buy or sell on that? You think Florida would rather play Toronto than Tampa, Greggs?
Oh, God, yeah. And that's not a knock on Toronto. It's just more so, what are we seeing? Like, the Tampa Bay Lightning suddenly are looking like the Tampa Bay Lightning than everybody thought they would be, right? Like, Vasilevsky is on fire as of late. Like, what are they? I think 12-4-2 or something since March 1st. I think they're like their second best team in the East. I think only Carolina's been better. And, if you look at it, historically, down the stretch, teams that get hot, they're harder outs, right? So yeah, like Florida and Toronto are a lot closer in their point. Like, Toronto has 12 wins in 21. Florida has 11, right? So yes, I think they would probably want to play each other. And I'll say this. I think if you ask Toronto right now, you might want to play Florida over Boston too. Like, I think those two teams might look at each other and say, hey, I think this gives us the best chance to win. Florida's banged up. Toronto's played pretty well, right? Like, they've definitely got a lot more bite in their game from guys. Like, you see Max Domi just going after guys. It's just because he roughed up Matthews. Not even that bad. But, I think their group of guys recognizes they have to play a different style. So, yeah, I think that might be one where if you polled both teams privately, they'd say, yeah, we want Florida for Toronto. And Florida will say, we want Toronto.
Frank, buy or sell?
Buy. But I would disagree with Jason's part of the sentiment, which is that the Leafs would want to play Florida. I'd rather play Boston every time. I just think Florida's game translates so well to the playoffs. And again, obviously, open to proven being wrong. They have some pretty good history last year to show why. And I know how they've played down the stretch. Yeah. I also think there really hasn't been a ton for them to play for. And because of what you just mentioned, why do you want to, not to say that they're purposely trying to finish second, but I think this is a better path for them. And if I'm the Leafs, I think Boston is a paper tiger, but that's just my opinion.
Okay. My only concern with Florida is their health and their defense right now. Like, now maybe Ekblad's going to be fine, but that's the only caveat.
I mean, Boston, I still just can't get last year's first round gag job out of my head. And until that happens, it's kind of, to me, it's a little bit like the Leafs winning around and moving forward. Like, until you see it, I don't know if you believe it.
All right, last one I got for you guys. Let's head out west where it looks like, or the Oilers, sorry, are locked in to that number two spot, unless the Canucks don't get a single point either of their last two games. But I'm going to say the best matchup for the Oilers is once again against the LA Kings, not against the Golden Knights in round one. You buying or selling on that, Frank?
Buying. I would say it's odd to be in alignment with you on so many things today.
Yeah.
Two is... the Oilers would go into that series with a strong confidence, not to say that, 3 years in a row, something, you can't have a different result, but I haven't been a huge believer in this Kings team. The Oilers have proven that they can, and there'll be a certain familiarity or confidence to going into it. Having been in a lot of different situations over the last two playoff runs against this Kings team. Both of them, I don't know that they started either playoff round one with the best of games, and they still found and managed ways to win, including a game seven. So they've got lots of reasons to go into that feeling good. And I think the Kings, I'd rather play the Kings than the Preds or the Golden Knights.
Jay?
Wow. The Oilers beat the Preds for fun. I think that's the one match. And I know people say, well, the Preds are playing better now. Yes, but the Oilers, that's a matchup I think they would take all day. Vegas is an interesting one for me because really, you know, I know they had the great comeback against Colorado, but we've outlined that Colorado has been leaky and shaky, you know, down the stretch here. They were down 3-0 and not looking good. And then they woke up for 18 minutes. Vegas hasn't been good really for a long time. And I know that, you know, they got Stone likely coming back and all that. I get it. But I don't think, honestly, Vegas doesn't. They're not the juggernaut. To me right now, Vegas looks like the 2023 Avalanche, who were the defending Stanley Cup champions and then lost in the opening round. I don't look at this year's Vegas team as the defending champs who's coming in as a juggernaut. They haven't played very well the last 4 months. They're 26th in goals against. And goals against is a great stat usually that's hard to just flip a switch. Stone will add a lot of emotion and energy. There's no question. I don't doubt that for my mind, but I think either one, Edmonton would be.
There you go. That is, oh, actually one more, Greg's buy or sell. Do we see Connor McDavid again in the regular season, or is this going to be a full almost 10 days of rest heading into the playoffs?
Oh, no, you'll see him before the end of the regular season. I'm curious if he plays one or two games. He's not going to play all three. There's no point. He's not going to play back to back, but I wouldn't be stunned if they see him tonight against San Jose.
Also buy or sell, should I sell my tickets to Oilers Coyotes Wednesday? It's the last game at Mullet Arena, and I think I could get like 6 times what I paid for them. It would pay for the entire trip I'm taking down to Phoenix.
Ooh, it's a good question. Like, it all depends on if you're a historian or not to say, hey, I was in the building for the last game. Now, you're not a Coyotes fan, so it's not like the emotional attachment right now. You know, because some fans, they'll be devastated. No question about it. Like, that's devastating to lose your team. So, it all depends, I guess, where you come out on the emotional specter of it and then say, well, if I can make that much extra cash, fire it up.
Yeah.
I would sell because I don't have any emotional tie to it. And if you want, I can get you a press credential and you can go and experience it anyway.
And I can just tell Amber to sit by the pool for a few hours and I'll be back later.
Perfect. Be a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. All right. There you go, guys. That is a wrap on today's edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by DoorDash.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So quickly on the Yotes, provided that this all does come to fruition, which they're working around the clock to get done, I can't help but think that this is a win-win-win for everyone involved. It's a win for the NHL to put the team in a much more stable and potentially lucrative market. It's a win for the NHL to get a new, excited, hungry, well-funded billionaire that has previous experience running a big league franchise in the Utah Jazz in Ryan Smith. It's a win to go to the one of the fastest of the 413 metropolitan areas in the U.S. It's the fourth fastest growing. That's a win. It's also a win to get out from under Alex Mariello. It's also a win for Alex Mariello to get $1 billion. He bought the team for $300 million. He ran it poorly. He wasn't an honest business person and hasn't been. And he made some critical, critical errors that I find it amazing that he's even going to have a shot to get back into the league at some point, as slim as that may be. And in the meantime, all those situations that I outlined, win, win, win. Win for Ryan Smith, you get a team. And I'd rather have the relocating Coyotes than starting from scratch with an expansion team.
Now, that's fair. They got some good young players. I guess, obviously, Coyotes, people, you know, fans in Arizona are like, hey, what do we win? Well, I guess you win the chance. I'd be surprised if you don't have a team coming back again in the future. But I'm not sold, Frank, that it's going to happen right away.
But it doesn't need to. I mean, no offense to Coyotes fans. Whether it's 3 years, 5 years, or 7 years, the NHL does have a history of coming through on those promises. They did that with the Minnesota Wild. And more than that, the biggest win for Coyotes fans is that when you get it back, you know it's going to be right. You know that you're going to be playing in a brand new arena. You know that you're going to have stable ownership for a change. And you know that whatever product comes to fruition will probably have a way better chance of winning than the one that you've had for the last two decades. You just need to take a few steps back to take a bunch of giant leaps forward. And yeah, that's a hard way to look at it. But let's say you are a Coyotes fan, and after all that you've been through with Alex Mariello, why would you possibly want him to stay and be your owner and have him go through this process over the next 3 years, pulling your hair out, trying to get an arena built?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Do you have any faith that guy can do it?
Yeah, yeah. No, it would be a lot of disappointment for sure. I do know, though, that when you lose the team, you know, at the grassroots level, it can stagnate a bit. And, you know, there's been lots of growth there. Obviously, Austin Matthews, you think about it, if the Coyotes don't go to Arizona, does he ever even play? Who knows? So that's why I think it's important for them to find some connection sooner than later. It is always difficult when you lose a team, because kids, their interest level and their goals and dreams become different. It's just how it is.
Well, and that's fair, but you know what? It's not perfect, and it never was perfect there.
Oh,
and
no.
I think they have a chance to come back and be way more perfect. So
yeah, you get a good arena, Frank, in the right place, I think that market could be successful. I have no doubt about that.
I know it can. It's just they have to get there.
Like, outside of their first, 5 years, they had competitive teams, and they didn't win a lot, but at least they made the playoffs every year. They had one run since in 2012. They had like a stretch of a few years with Tippett and Smith and Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Their teams were competitive. You know, they won some playoff rounds, went to the conference final. But outside of that, man, it has been some of the worst, you know, different ownership groups ever. That's been the problem. They need solid, sound ownership. Whoever brings the team back, that's the number one thing they're going to have to. And they probably have to have it now, Frank, because the cost is just so much, right? You mentioned, you know, he brought it for $300 million and he's going to sell it for $1 billion. Like, that's a total different category now of who it's going to be. And based on how his family, like, just the immaturity in which they run their social media team that's run by his son is embarrassing to me. And like, those are little things that illustrate, but they were never fully invested into your team. And their press release, I don't know if anybody saw it. Like, I had to chuckle, Frank. And God love my mom. My mom's great, but, you know, she now writes in all caps all the time and emails and dies. Like, not all the time, but just sometimes she does. So it makes me laugh. And I'm reading that. And I'm like, first of all, this is a press release that said nothing about anything. And I don't even know if it was ChatGPT. It had the cursor in the middle of it. Like, do you not even know how to proofread a press release?
Yeah, that,
like,
was the best part, was the cursor. So I don't know if you saw that, but they obviously wrote it with a really, like, average plain font, and then there was the signature. So basically what that left them open to was people like spoofing the did you see the one that was going around yesterday?
No.
If you haven't seen these statements, like, you should just go read it, because if you compared them side by side and you didn't know any better and you just looked at it, there was one going around yesterday. I'll just read it because I laughed out loud for like 2 hours. It said, the Arizona Coyotes are going to build an entertainment district with 65 ice rinks, a Subway sandwich restaurant, the finest sidewalks money can buy, and new living quarters for my large adult son. Then it said, attend our exclusive Coyotes X Fanatics apparel pop-up activation at the Scottsdale Fashion Square for a chance to win 5% off Southwest Airlines tickets to Salt Lake City in October. The lucky winner will also receive a signed portrait of Howler the Coyote standing next to Javier Gutierrez. Respectfully, Alex Maruela. I'm sorry. I was literally rolling, and I sent it to a few people around the league, just, you know, and everyone kind of had their fun with it. But then someone replied back, ha ha ha, they forgot the cursor.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's exactly, that's when you knew it wasn't authentic. And so you know what? I know it'll be emotional for some fans on Wednesday night, without question. But
could you imagine though, if this were to fall apart? And I'm not saying there's a likelihood that that happens, but could you imagine if somehow this fell apart on the 1 yard line and then Alex Maruela says, you know what? I'm taking you to court, and we're in a court process for the next 3 years.
Yeah. But is that going to help him get the arena?
No, but my point is, and it's not going to help him get $1 billion, but he's going to want the terms of this deal to be as ironclad as possible, that he can actually get another franchise. And I don't know that the NHL is willing to get to lock itself into that.
Yeah.
That to me is, at least as it's explained to me, the delicate dance of this whole arrangement.
Okay. Well, something to watch for, Frankie. And hey, when we talk next, we should have, but not guaranteed, the playoff matchups. It will be the final day of the season. Then we get set to the playoffs. It should be fantastic. Remind you, it's the final week in the regular season for the Wendy's pick 'em. Go to dailyfaceoff.com in the top right corner. You can't miss the Wendy's logo. It's your last chance. Get the Cinnabon pull apart. Good luck. Could be the deciding factor for somebody to take home the $5,000 first prize in cold, hard cash, courtesy of Wendy's and the Wendy's app. So check it out this week, dailyfaceoff.com for the Wendy's Daily Survivor Pool.
I think I told you last week, but be ready. There's a new playoff game coming.
Well, that's what you said. I'm kind of curious about it.
Hey, look, I can't reveal details. I'm sworn to secrecy, but get ready.
All right. Well, I'll be ready, teaser. And we'll talk about it next week.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. And let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount. And that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first. And you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.